All right. My mic battery has gone out. Yep, it's got a little, but not enough. I know y'all not believing I did that. When we come to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is at a dinner with some of the Pharisees and scribes. He's having a basic dinner with them, and they have begun to question him and talk to him, and Jesus begins to share with them some teaching here. He gives us a parable in the 16th chapter. He talks about what is known as the Great Supper. But he said to him, speaking to one of those that had questioned him, because Jesus had challenged him, because you see, in those days, if you held a great dinner or a big banquet, you always tried to invite the creme de la creme, the top, those who were the in crowd. A lot of folks didn't make that, and you always wanted to invite the important people so that you could say that they attended my party. Well, Jesus teaches them a different lesson and teaches us. But he said, a man was giving a big dinner or a great supper, and he invited many. Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to tell you that that automatically draws a contrast in what Jesus was talking to them about and how Jesus would do things. Because, you see, they had a very select menu and a select invitation that only certain people were come, and you only served the best of the best of this. And so we see automatically right here that he says he was having a dinner, and many, he invited many. So it was already a great contrast between the way Jesus does things and the way the religious crowd does. It says, at the dinner hour, he sent his slave or his servant to those who had been invited. Come, for everything is now ready. He says, look, it's time. Everything's good. Now, I don't know about you, but I like it when I go to a dinner party and all I got to do is show up. Amen? You like that? I got ready to say that's like homecoming, but some of you had to fix something in order for us to eat today, and it's going to be like that. He says, but I want you to notice in verse 18, it says, but they all alike began to make excuses. Now, we're going to read through these, but we're going to come back to them in just a moment. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. Well, they made all the excuses. Now, what's important here is we have some characters in this story. The first is the person giving the big dinner, really, and the great, what we call the great salvation supper, is God. Jesus, when he says a man was giving a big dinner, is speaking of the fact he's really speaking in a parable, in word language, and he says God was going to have a great banquet. He invited many. So we see God as the one holding the dinner. We see that many are invited. And then we see the slave or the servant. The servant, first of all, represents the Holy Spirit. And then it represents the church, because the Holy Spirit is the one that does the inviting to come to God's great dinner. And then you and I are responsible under the power of the Holy Spirit to invite people to be a part of the kingdom. Well, you see these people that made excuses. We're going to come back to that, but I want to tell you that Jesus here is talking to the Jews. You see, Jesus is referring to the fact here that he came first of all for the Jews. Jesus came first for the Jews, and they rejected him. And he's referring to the fact that they're going to reject him as the Messiah. So there's this great dinner. The folks that have been invited make excuses why they can't come. And I want you to notice what he does after that. And the slave came back and he reports to the master. And then the head of the household, it tells us, became angry. And he said to his slave, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you have asked, basically, we're going to the next one, has been done. What you've commanded has been done, and there's still room. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus, again, draws a great contrast.
He's invited. He says to the in crowd, those that have been invited, you come.
They don't want to come. But he says to the slave, now don't just go out and find people that look like they fit here. You go out and find anybody. Find those that are poor. Those that are poor in spirit. Those that are lame. Those that are halt. Those that have been crippled by life. Maybe crippled physically, but also crippled spiritually. And he says, you invite them to come. Because he's showing that God is not a respecter of persons. And that his invitation to salvation, to the great salvation supper, is open to all. The slave went out. And he says, you know, I've done that and there's still room. He says, go out into the highways and into the hedgerows and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. You know, a good Jew would have never done that. He would have only had the special people. There are churches like that. I know of churches where if you don't dress right or act right or fit right, you're just not welcome there. They'll tell you that. I have dear friends of mine that moved to Danville, Virginia shortly after they were married. And they went to a local Baptist church. They had gone to First Baptist with me and spent their time there. And the preacher was one of those that kind of preached super hot. I don't just mean hot. I mean, he beat up the church mouse that day, okay? Everybody in there he beat up. And he kept glaring at my friends and, you know, just bearing down on them. Just whipped them from one end to the other. And during the invitation, I think they sang 47 verses of Just As I Am. And a few folks finally went forward so they could get out that day. My friend and his wife had been gloriously saved and serving in the church, and they saw no need to go. And the preacher kind of told him, said, I was expecting y'all to come. They said, we did. He said, no, I was expecting you to come down front. You see, he automatically assumed that they weren't his kind of people. That, you know, they never went back there. They didn't feel welcome. I'm glad here at Holloway's that we have the upper crust like Clyde and Tommy and Brian, and then we got the low part of society like me and Robbie and Robert Darr, and you notice I didn't throw any active deacons in there. Deacons, you hear that? Don't you get me tomorrow night? Amen. We're kind of like that. We're just come. He says, for I tell you, at the end of the story, he says, I tell you, none of those that were invited are going to be welcome at my dinner. They shall not taste it. Folks, in this beautiful picture, we have a picture of salvation. We have the inviter, the head of the household, is none other than God Himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, look, my salvation supper, my dinner, my invitation to you is open to everybody. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are, how high you think you are, or how low you think you've dropped. You're welcome. He says, go into the hedgerows and the highways. That's where the robbers and the thieves and the sinners were, is what he had said to them. And compel them, just urge them, tell them that they need to come. They need to accept this invitation. You know, that's what the Lord's doing today. He's saying, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, the interesting thing about the story is that they had sent out and gone and said, look, there's room, there's room. You know, I think of, as the story was being told, as Jesus is telling the parable, that the Father sitting up on His throne was probably humming to Himself. La, 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 la. La 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 la. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. That's that beautiful. You see, God was looking forward to the day when Jesus would have given His life on Calvary's cross. And when the invitation for the great supper would have gone out, he was thinking of the song. You know, the choir master walked up to him and says, Lord, can we use that one day? He said, yes, you can, but you have to wait just a little while. There's room at the cross for you. Now, I want us to go back, Robbie, if you can do that, to verses 17, verses 18 and through 20, if we can get there. We can. But they all alike begin to make excuses. If you'll go on to the next slide there, we'll have it. The first one said, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Now, I don't know about you, but I consider that a completely stupid excuse. Any of you ever bought, now don't raise your hand because we're going to laugh at you, okay? Any of you ever bought a piece of land, a piece of valuable property, and you never went to look at it, you just believe what somebody told you? If you're one of those, and if you want to raise your hand right now, if you wait till the end of the service, I have a piece of oceanfront property near Norman, Oklahoma, that I want to sell you at a reasonable price. That was an illegitimate excuse. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. I want us to go on to the next excuse. The other one says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Now you need to understand something. In that part of the world, oxen were used for transportation, for agriculture, for pretty much everything. And so you made sure that when you bought oxen, that you bought the right thing. You know, you didn't kick the leg. Any of you want to kick the leg on a cow, go on, do it. Or a bull, I especially encourage you to do that. But some of you are going to say, well, what about that excuse? Well, that man's just making an empty excuse. He didn't buy those oxen. He's just making an excuse. It's kind of like you if you decide to go buy a car. All you got is the picture. You don't know anything else about it. You didn't study it on the internet or anything else. You just had the picture of the car. You call the car place up and the man says, yep, we got it. And it works perfectly. It's exactly what you need. His name is Jim, the I will get you if I can car salesman. And you just tell him, well, I'll pay full price. I hope you're not that silly or stupid. Now, the third one is the one I really like. Ladies, you ought to just punch your husbands for this one. He says, I married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. Now, what wife wants to come home or stay home and feed her husband when she could go out to dinner somewhere? Amen, ladies, can I have a witness? Amen. That was just an empty excuse. Well, you know, that's just representative of what we do today. We got people every week, every month, every day that they've got an excuse why they can't be in the Lord's house, or they can't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the girl that said to me again and again, she said, you know, I like to hear you preach. I love the church, and I would come more than once every 8 months, but I work 6 days a week, and Saturday's my day to sleep in. I thought, you know, and some of you may do that, you may say that, and I understand that. I work 7 days a week. Amen? I had to look at Brian because Russell won't give you a look. You know what I'm saying? New chairman, he'll just, I know what he's thinking, but he won't say it. And I looked at her and I thought, and I didn't say it. I wanted to say, you know, honey, you're lucky to have that job and have the blessings you have. God gave them to you. You need to remember that. An hour, 2 hours a week wouldn't hurt you to come and say, thank you, Lord. They were all illegitimate excuses. Ladies and gentlemen, what's your excuse? The invitation to God's salvation has probably gone out to every one of you many times. Maybe you've accepted it, and if that's the case, then you're like those folks that gathered at that dinner. You will go, you know, I used to be broken. I was crippled by sin. I was crippled by life. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and He found me. His Holy Spirit invited me, because the Bible says that no one comes without the Spirit drawing them. And somebody in the church, for me, as a little boy, I wasn't much of a sinner, but by 9 years old, I knew what a sinner was. Mrs. Homer Andrews, Mrs. Zarina Andrews at the First Baptist Church of Burlington, after my parents had told me about the Lord and brought us to church and raised us in the church and told us about Jesus, she said, Dana, today's the day. You need to come. And I went and gave my hand to the pastor and my heart to the master. And you know, I don't regret that a day. I accepted that invitation. And in the future, it says that there is to be a great dinner called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. That's when all the saints, Moses and David and Abraham and Jacob and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Amos and all those others, and then all of the saints of the New Testament are going to gather with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you be there? Well, yeah, I'm going to be there because I believe in Jesus. I want to tell you that the demons believe in Jesus. No, the key is, I heard God's invitation to come and accept His invitation to come to the great salvation supper. I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart. And I was gloriously saved. It wasn't anything I did. It was everything He did. Now you may say, well, I'm just as good as you are. You may be better than I am. You may be better than I'll ever be. It's not what I did. It's what He did. And Jesus is extending that invitation right now. We're going to close this service and Jesus is saying, come. Come as you are. You don't have to clean up before you get here. You don't have to come to Holloway's to church. You just need to come to me and then you, wherever you are, you find a Bible-believing church where they preach salvation and where they talk about the wonder of the Great Supper. You say, well, I'm too bad. There's nobody who's too low. He was a murderer. He murdered Christians. Can you believe that somebody who was responsible for the murder, for the imprisonment and the murder, the slaughter of Christians, could be responsible after God saved him for writing 2/3 of the New Testament? And his name is the Apostle Paul. You see, before Paul was the great apostle, the great one used of God, he was Saul. The Pharisee, the persecutor of Christians. It says that when Stephen, the first deacon, was stoned to death by the Jews for preaching Jesus, that Saul of Tarsus was standing there holding their coats while they stoned him to death. Saul was the reason that Stephen was murdered. What's your excuse? You say, well, I'm too good. You're never too good to be able to get there. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can be as good as Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Amen. I got that in there, didn't I? Amen. You know, you can be as good as Billy Graham. Dr. Graham will tell you. Dr. Graham grew up in a Christian church and grew up, he said, it wasn't until I discovered. I was a church member. I went. It wasn't until in his 20s that he heard a fellow by the name of Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham was doing some preaching. And that day, the Lord reached out again in His invitation to the Great Supper and said, Billy, I want you to come. And Billy Graham walked the aisle. He attended church. He grew up, he knew about church. But he went and gave his hand to the pastor, to the evangelist, and his heart to the master. And hasn't America been blessed ever since? Because Billy Graham knew that he wasn't too good to accept the invitation. What about you? What about you? As we come in our time of invitation, we get ready to go take part in a wonderful meal together. Have you accepted God's invitation? Don't make an excuse. Don't make an excuse, because you see, excuses are just alibis that become lullabies that rock men and women to sleep to the danger of making excuses. But if you want to come today, if you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to be a part of, in the future, that marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to be able to sit down, folks. I want to be able to sit down with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And for those of you who don't, I know you say Abednego, but it was Abednego. I want to be able to sit down with those Hebrew boys and say, what was it like in the fire? What was it like there? I want to be able to get up from dinner and go over there and kind of glad hand with Moses at the marriage supper of the Lamb and say, Moses, what was it like to stand before the Red Sea with it roaring and chopping and the enemy coming down on you, and just to believe in the Father and reach out there and watch that. What was it like to go across on dry land? I want to sit down with a fellow by the name of Barnabas. We don't talk a lot about Barnabas. Barnabas was one of the servants of the Lord, and he was known as the son of encouragement. Isn't that a great title? That's a great title. He encouraged others to come to the Lord. And I'm encouraging you today. The invitation's out. Jesus is here today saying, come right now. Come and accept my invitation. Come, say, Lord Jesus, I accept your invitation. I know that I'm a sinner, and I want you to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. And if you'll do that today, you'll have your place reserved at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's pray together. Father, if there is somebody here today that doesn't know you, I pray that today they'll make that all-important acceptance of that invitation. Lord, for those of us that long time ago maybe accepted that invitation. I pray that we'll just celebrate in that today. And as we sit down and we partake of food, we'll think of the great supper. As we sit down with the chicken and the biscuits and the sweet potatoes and the, oh Lord, as we sit down with the potato salad, that we'll think of what was going to be, what was, and what will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be dishes of your love. There will be trays of your grace. There will be bowls of your mercy. God, we accept that today. That's the one. Lord, I look forward to the meal, but I so look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I thank you for offering me the invitation to come. And I said yes. May many say yes today, Lord. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is, "Wherever He leads me, I'll go." You know, you can't sing that if you don't mean it. You can't sing it if you don't mean it. "Wherever He leads, I'll follow by Christ who loves me so." Do you need to accept the invitation today? You just need to bow your head right where you are while we're singing, and you just need to say, "Lord, yes, I want to accept that invitation today."